posed to us out of the Bible. It's in the book of Esther. It's what we started with last week. Are you here for such a time as this? It's a question that not only is for Esther, but for ourselves, that we live in our own unique time. We live in a time with its own challenges, and we are not here by accident either. And there are challenges that are unique to us and to our situation. We are here for a purpose, a reason. What does it take to be the right person in the right place at the right time? That's what we've been looking at. And this week, I want to take and further our series called Moving Pictures with looking at some of the questions that are posed to us. And I want to contend that the one of the big issues is going to have to do with being the right person in the right place at the right time. It's going to have to do with truth. How do we hear? How do we hold? How do we deal? How do we tell truth? It's a question that is at the core of a particular movie called Concussion. Came out a couple years ago, starred Will Smith. And it's about a doctor. His real name is Dr. Bennett Amalu, and that's him up there. And he's a Nigerian doctor who came out of the Nigerian Civil War. His family was on the run, came to America, distinguished himself with all kinds of degrees and expertise. And he's famous for how he spoke out, which I guess shouldn't surprise us, because as I found out, the longer name of Amalu, it's a very long and unpronounceable name, but in English it literally means he who knows speaks. If you've seen the movie, you understand that connection as well, because he knows a lot. In this movie, he is taking on the National Football League. Hold on there. He's taking on the National Football League, and he's taking on because as a pathologist, he has noticed again and again and again that there are these football players who are dying at an early age, and they are having dementia, and their families are torn apart, and these players sometimes are committing suicide, and there's these things, and no one wants to look at it. No one wants to believe it. But he amasses more and more and more evidence till he cannot stay quiet. He knows, and so he speaks. He speaks, but no one's listening. The price is too high. The cost is too high. To entertain the idea that what we are doing and the games that we are playing and the things that we are enabling and encouraging is killing people begins to say a whole lot about who we are, and we don't want to hear that. It costs a lot of money, the number one sport in the country in terms of money and participation. It's football. This affects everything. But he persists, and if you know the film, there is this scene, and we're about to see it. It is this scene where he is in quiet, off the record, having finally a confrontation and a conversation with somebody who can do something about it. But will he? And it has to do with whether or not we are able to hear and tell the truth.
You want to foul up the National Football League?
Want to solve the problem.
Who are you?
What do you ask?
You're a pathologist. You perform autopsies.
Yes, I'm a mere pathologist. That's it. That's all I am.
Do you have any idea the impact of what you're doing?
Yes, I do.
Do you understand the impact of what you are doing? If just 10% of the mothers in America decide that football is too dangerous for their sons to play, that is it. It is the end of football. Kids, colleges, and eventually, it's just a matter of time, the professional game.
Joe, he does autopsies. He's not in the outcome business.
He has no business.
You know what history does to people. Trained physicians who ignore science.
Oh, wow.
Sir, I am not done. History laughs. If you continue to deny my work, the world will deny my work. But men, your men, continue to die. Their families left in ruins. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
You sure you want to do this?
I would ask you that same question, Dr. Maroon.
Tell the truth. It seems simple, doesn't it? It's one of the first things we teach our children, to be honest, to be truthful. It is in every organization. It is embedded into the mottos, into the character building. It is a primary character trait. We want someone who's honest, whether it's our mechanic, whether it's a realtor, whether it's an accountant, whether it's a teacher, whether it's anyone in charge. We want someone who's honest, someone who tells the truth. If we ever go to court and we have to testify, we promise, we swear that we will tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We know that things work better. Justice works better when there is truth. Companies work better when there is truth. Families work better when there is truth. We work better when there is truth. Did you know there's a biological advantage to truth? That when we are not telling the truth, we go into stress. Our bodies get stressed. The heart rate changes, the blood pressure changes. Things change because our body is under the stress of knowing it's saying something that's not true. And when we measure that, we call that a lie detector. And it's based on the premise that it takes more work to lie than it is to tell the truth. And the fact that some people can ace that, some people can train, some people can work around in such a way to fool that, only underlines that truth all the more. It takes a lot of work. Tell the truth. Here's the question. Here's the question behind this film, because that's why we do moving pictures. We don't use these to teach us lessons as much as to raise questions and to see where does our faith inform this. And here's the question. It goes far beyond what football does, and it goes far beyond any of those. It goes to this point. If the truth is so great, why is it so hard? Why is it so rare? If it is so necessary, why does it always seem to be in short supply? There are so many other movies we could have used for this. I could have used Aaron Brockovich for this one. I could have used A Few Good Men in that wonderful scene with Jack Nicholson telling us we can't handle the truth. I could have shown All the President's Men about Watergate and behind the truth. We could have gone to science fiction and shown the X-Files and been reminded that the truth is out there, but we won't find it because there's a conspiracy to keep it from us. There is something that just keeps coming up, and again we have to raise this question. If in fact this is so good, in fact it's so necessary, why is it so rare? Why is it so hard? And it goes back to Jesus himself, and Jesus himself who says, listen, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So why aren't we more free? I mean, with all that going for it, then truth should be common. But whether it's football, the National Football League, or a tobacco company, it's not true. We find the same kind of cover-ups, and we find the same kind of concealment, whether it's in churches, whether it's in schools, whether it has to do with war, whether it has to do with pharmaceutical companies, whether it has to do within our families or ourselves. How many times this week were you tempted to tell something other than the truth this week? If not an outright lie, how many times in this next week will you find yourself wanting to fudge the truth just a bit, or at least not say the whole thing to conceal it? What is so hard about this? Why do we have to keep making movies about this? Why do we have to keep teaching something if it is in fact that natural? We could say, well, it's people. It's just dishonest people who need to be taught better. We need to bring morality back into our schools or in our churches and into our organizations. Maybe we need more regulations, or what we need is to penalize people more for telling things that aren't true. All of those things may be part of it, but that's still way too easy, isn't it? Otherwise, this just becomes a kind of a spiritual pep talk to do stuff that we already know we're supposed to do. Supposed to tell the truth, supposed to eat vegetables, supposed to get more sleep. But the reason it's here in the in worship. The reason it's here in Scripture, the reason that Jesus comes has to do with because there is something that is far deeper. And I think the first hint of that comes from another wise person named Richard Rohr when he says this, the truth, before the truth can set you free, it tends to make you miserable. Before the truth can set you free, before it sets you free, it tends to make you miserable. Why is that? Because, as Rohr would say, as the Bible would say, at the very core we're hiding. The very core of who we are, we're hiding. The very first story of the Bible is about hiding from God. It's about hiding because we are afraid of the truth of what we have done and what that might mean. We hide from God because we're afraid. We hide from one another because we are afraid. We blame one another. We rationalize. We scapegoat. We do anything, anything, so we don't have to face the truth of ourself. That there is something out of line within ourselves. That there is something that we are afraid of. We are afraid of the truth that exposes us. It makes us vulnerable. We are afraid that someone is going to take the truth of who we are and weaponize it against us. Isn't that where shame comes in? Not just guilt, the healthy kind of guilt, when I've done something wrong, I need to change. No, this is who you are. And we know the pain of someone who's weaponized the truth of ourselves, who has found something out, and we see it in the headlines every day. We see it in the schoolyards every day. We see it at work every day. We see it in ourselves every day. That we find something that is wrong and we weaponize it and we create shame. So yeah, we hide. Yeah, we conceal. Yeah, we can't bear it. We don't want it. So the very thing that we say we want is the very thing we actually are avoiding. And as we avoid it, what we do is we kind of create a different self, a persona, a facade. If you're reading and being part of the pastor's book club called The Human Condition, it is, Keating calls it the homemade self. It is sometimes called the false self. And we take these things and we want to be true about us. This is how we want to be portrayed. And we kind of put an armor around ourselves. That's what Brené Brown calls it. We armor up. And we armor up with so that we become the person who is the good person. We become the generous person. We become the hard worker. We become the achiever. We become all of those things. None of those are bad, by the way, but they are not truly ourselves. They are not truly us. We put that out there to protect every ourselves from everyone else. Sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes we decide we're going to be the rebel. We're going to be the troublemaker. We're going to be the outcast. We're going to be the one on the margin. It's the same thing. We're just putting out a different armor out there to protect ourselves. And we're protecting ourselves from the truth of who we are. But what happens when what we begin to do is we begin to believe those things? We begin to protect that persona. We begin to somehow armor ourselves up and defend ourselves against anything that would rattle that. Because when we do those things and we begin to believe it, then it just starts to run in the unconscious. That's what our author Keating says. He says, when it's not recognized, when it's not admitted, then it's just running underneath everything, underneath our consciousness. And it controls every conversation. It controls every relationship. It controls everything. And any time that there is something that threatens that part that we think we like about ourselves or want to be out there, we run from it. We aren't able to hear it. And people die. And families die. And communities die and suffer. How many families have been keeping secrets around addiction? Dysfunction. How many communities, how many workplaces where everyone knows? I think one statistic was in the midst of companies that have gone through large scandals, afterwards, 85% of the people knew there was something wrong and no one wanted to say anything, in part because no one would believe them or because the cost was too high to say the truth. Things die, things suffer because we can't face truth. So the real question I think this film raises for us in church is this: if truth is what we are avoiding on the inside, how can we hold truth on the outside? If the very core of who we are is shaky, how will we ever have integrity? It may be something we can give some energy to, but as soon as it's challenged, as soon as we are challenged, we will pull back and defend. How if at our core we're hiding, how can we ever be honest anywhere? Everything we do will undercut what we say we want and we know we need. So that's what brought me to this scripture. This scripture, as we're talking about, where does scripture fit into this? How does our faith fit into this and address this? This was one, there were so many I could have chosen, but I kept coming back to this one, the one that we heard earlier today, the scripture of the day. Because there is something in there that is a choice. There is something in there about taking the very part of who we are that we're protecting because it feels like us. And to let go of that feels like we have to die. And it seems to me Jesus is getting at some of those same things when he says, if anyone wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves, or who they think they are, and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. What will it profit them to gain the whole world but forfeit their life? What will they give in return? You see, Jesus is saying, it's sort of like this. You've got a choice to make. You can live your life out. You can live it out falsely. You can live it out in such a way that everyone thinks well of you and you are protected and you can succeed and you can do well in this world. But if you haven't taken care of what's in here, what is it worth to have all of that if you lose your soul? If you never get to this peace, what is the value of everything out here? You can fool everybody. Or the second way is a different path. It's Jesus's path. It is the way of living unprotected. It is not having an agenda. It is not having to defend. It is to go and to be able to speak the truth, to be the truth, to be vulnerable with people, even if they will abuse it. It is to give yourself away. And in so doing, you begin to find your real life. You begin to realize, finally, that all that might be good, but it's not you. That what's you is in here. And that's what Jesus came for. Jesus didn't come to the cross to protect our personas, to trumpet our accomplishments, to just collude in the illusion of who we want everyone to think we are. Truth indeed makes us miserable, but it is the foundation for any change. It can set us free. It always starts with truth. Go to any 12-step program, and the first thing you do is you have to come and tell the truth. Hi, I'm Russ. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, I'm Russ. I have an eating disorder. Hi, I'm Russ. I'm an enabler. Hi, I'm... And you have to... And that's the truth, and you start there because nothing is going to happen. I was listening to a very famous psychologist years ago, and he was saying that the real point of counseling where things finally turn is what he called cognitive dissonance. It's when you bring somebody to the place gently, because it's hard to do, we're always protecting ourselves, you bring these people to a place where gently they can begin to see that there's a dissonance between who I say I am and what I have been doing. And when that finally sinks in, then healing can begin. And he said, it is if what has to happen is the old version of ourself has to die for the possibility of anything new having a chance. The one who wants to save their life, protect it, defend it, is going to lose it. The one who give it away finds it. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what that path of Jesus is all about. Jesus is constantly confronting people with the truth of their own lives. But not in judgment, not to condemn, not to weaponize, but in order that there might be healing that can begin. How many people who have been hiding behind the facade and all their bravado and their pride come to Jesus, and then there is a change because they are not condemned. They can be, they can recognize the true self of who they are and that it's loved. This is what it means to follow in the way of Christ, but it's more going away. It is remembering it's following with Christ, because it is, this is what the disciples knew. This is not just principles. To follow Christ is to follow with Christ. It's to be in the company of Christ. It is to be in the presence of the one who can see who we are and loves us, accepts us radically. And when we begin to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us, then there can be change. Then there can be healing. It is as simple as yielding ourselves over to following, to being in the presence. Because truth is part of what God is bringing on. And now we get to be a part of it as well. It is embodying every day that truth that we talk about around here. There's nothing this week that you're going to do that's going to make God love you more. And there's nothing you're going to do that's going to make God love you less. That's already taken care of. Now, how are you going to live? If that's the deepest truth of who you are, that's a different place to live. You no longer have to live protected. You no longer have to live defending. You no longer have to waste all that time and energy trying to convince everyone, including yourself, that you're someone who inside you don't believe. I really believe that's where contemplative prayer comes in, and one of the reasons we're doing a class like we're doing, and we'll continue to do so. I think especially for people who are active people and who are public people, the more active and the more public, the more out there you are with your life, the more important it is to take care of the core and tend to the soul. What does it get you if you get everything else and you lose this? And what Jesus came for is this. And it's an invitation for healing and for freedom. The disciples knew. Jesus already knew everything about them. He was telling them things about themselves that they wouldn't believe. You're all going to betray me. Time comes, you're not going to be around. You're going to deny you if you knew me. And it doesn't faze Jesus at all. And it wasn't until they could get to the point of realizing, yes, that is the truth of who we are, that Jesus could truly be their Savior and their Lord. It is to be in the presence of the one who sees us and knows us and loves us and accepts us. That's where the healing begins. That's what love does. At the end of 1 Corinthians 13, another place could have gone today. At the end of it all, it says, you know, we see only partially now. We only see a bit of it. It's like in a mirror darkly. Someday we will see clearly. Someday we will know as we are known. Someday we will know as we are known. We are known by God already. And we get to live and begin to live in a different way. And to know as we are known. To live in the truth of that. And as we do, as we begin to do that, we are better able, we are more able to hear and see and respond to the truth and the need for truth around us. We are able to move to the truth because we come from truth. We are able to come from a place of integrity. Not that we're perfect. That's not the truth of who we are. The truth of who we are is we are who we are, and we are loved and we are accepted, and we get to be a part of what God is doing. We get to create places in this world where truth is valued and not weaponized. What would it look like in a church where people know they can come and tell the truth and not have to hide behind a religious persona, not have to hide behind the part that feels like I've got it all together, or at least I have to sound like that to be accepted? It'd be a place of healing. It'd be a place of health. What would happen if in our families the same? This is an invitation to know and experience God at a different level. Here's this thing about the truth that will set us free. It is to live as disciples who are known, who are loved, and accepted. And the more we get to live into that, the more we get to be the people in this time, in this place. We are the people for such a time as this. Who knows? Maybe we're here. And the degree to which we will be able to live into that, I believe, has to do with how we will hear, see, and respond to truth. Let's pray. It is easier, oh God, to just pretend. It is easier to put up the defenses and to not risk it, to not chance it, not be vulnerable. But oh God, there's something in our soul that's crying out. There's something that wants something different. And so we hear afresh, maybe for the first time, the invitation that you give to come. Follow me. Be with me. Learn of me. Through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.